Trish and I are overwhelmed every time by your kindness and generosity and the warmth of your welcome. So hear me say on her behalf, thank you for having us. Again, I didn't realize it had been a year. Goodness. I have chosen a word from 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 24. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. If any one of you has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in you? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we keep his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. Those who keep his commands live in him, and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. Would you pray with me, please? Almighty God, it is our earnest and sincere prayer that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts will be found both pleasing and appropriate in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. In his book, The Family Coach, Dave Simmons shares this story of a trip to the mall with his two children. I took 8-year-old Helen and 5-year-old Brandon to the Cloverleaf Mall in Hattiesburg to do a little shopping. As we drove up, we spotted a Peterbilt 18-wheeler parked with a big sign on it that said, Petting Zoo. The kids jumped up and rushed and asked, Daddy, Daddy, can we go? Please, please, can we go? Sure, I said, and I handed them each a quarter before walking into Sears. They ran off together, and I felt free to take my time looking for a scroll saw. Now, a petting zoo consists of a portable fence erected in the mall with about 6 inches of sawdust and 100 little furry baby animals of all kinds. Kids pay their money and stay in the enclosure, enraptured with the squirmy little critters, while their moms and dads shop. A few minutes later, I turned around and saw Helen walking along behind me. Now, I was shocked to see she preferred the hardware department to the petting zoo. I bent down and asked her what was wrong, and she looked up at me with those giant, clear brown eyes and said sadly, Well, Daddy, it cost 50 cents, so I gave Brandon my quarter. She had given Brandon her quarter, and nobody loves cuddly furry creatures more than Helen. As soon as I finished my errands, I took Helen to the petting zoo, and we stood together by the fence. and watched Brandon go crazy petting and feeding the animals. Helen stood with her hands and her chin resting on the fence and just watched Brandon. I had 50 cents burning a hole in my pocket, but I never offered it to Helen, and she never asked for it. Simmons summed up the lesson. Love always pays a price. Love always costs something. Love is expensive. When you love, benefits accrue to another's account. Love is for you and not for me. Love gives. It doesn't take. And this story touches me every time I see Trish tearing up. It does touch us in a special place. Love does. I looked through 11 different Bibles that were on my desk, and I didn't find a one with less than 1,000 pages. Large print, small print, single column, double column, 1,000 page minimum. And out of all those words, I don't know of 9 verses that lay out a more perfect 3-point message as clearly as these that John wrote and we've read from his first letter. This is how we know what love is. This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. This is how we know that he lives in us. Now, after looking a little more closely, it turns out that the tense of these 3 points are each different. John used the past tense, the future tense, and the present tense. He says more literally, we have known what love is because God demonstrated with actions and in truth rather than with words when Jesus came to earth and laid down his life for us. He says we will know we belong to the truth when we stand before him with a clear conscience, with hearts that don't condemn us, having kept his commandments and done what pleases him, which is believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. But he goes on to point out that we do know in the present tense that he lives in us because he has given us his Spirit. Now, these 2 short paragraphs could be crafted into several different and unique messages. A clear reference to the Trinity is present. What might it mean to lay down our lives for one another? I could go on, but Ivan asked me to speak this morning on my ministry as hospice chaplain and the bereavement coordinator. And I'm happy to do that because I think I have finally figured out what I want to do when I grow up. And it is be hospice chaplain. I have found that place. Frederick Buechner has defined the word vocation, which comes from the Latin vocatio, which means call or summons, as that occupation to which a person is specially drawn and for which she is well suited. He goes on to say that the idea of vocation is central to the Christian belief that God has created each person with gifts and talents which are oriented toward a specific purpose and way of life. So, vocation or calling refers to the work a person is called to by God, the kind of work that, one, we need most to do, and two, that the world most needs to have done. If you really enjoy your work, you have presumably met requirement one. But if your work is writing cigarette ads, the chances are you've missed requirement number two. On the other hand, if your work is being a doctor in a leper colony, you have clearly met the second requirement. But if most of the time you are bored and depressed, the chances are you've not only bypassed number one, but you more than likely aren't helping your patients much either. Reverend Buechner concludes, "The place God calls us to is that place where our deep gladness meets the world's deep hunger." John insists that we have known love, and we will know that we belong to the truth, and we do know because the Holy Spirit abides in us. Now, I did some digging to get at what belonging to truth means and discovered that it points to simply knowing God's will and ordering our lives so that they are in harmony with that will. That the choices we make in our life's journey please Him. He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God? Or again, Jesus answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. This is the first and most important commandment. The second most important commandment is like this one, and it is, love others as much as you love yourself. All the law of Moses and the books of the prophets are based on these two commandments," says Jesus. Well, we will know that we abide in this truth when we stand before Him with hearts not burdened with guilt, because we love Him and we loved our neighbors. Now, in his story of sheep and goats being separated on the day of judgment, Jesus made pretty clear what neighbor love looks like. But there's not such an explicit description in the scriptures that I can find of what God love looks like when it's lived out. Is it being in Sunday worship every week? Does it mean a daily time of prayer and Bible study? Even on vacation trips? What if I miss a day? Or what if I miss a Sunday? Or what if I don't miss? Does that still meet the standard of love the Lord your God? It's been a couple of summers ago now that someone put what struck me as a profound message on the board for all to see who traveled the Farmer's Loop past Christ Lutheran Church. I've forgotten the specific language, but the answer to my "what does God love look like" question was spelled out. To love God is to feel and express gratitude. Be grateful and say so. And I remember thinking, can it really be that simple? Is finding and holding and practicing an attitude of gratitude toward God really the answer? Seems reasonable. Gratitude toward God acknowledges that He is the source of our joy and peace. And being grateful certainly puts us in a humbled, indebted posture, which feels appropriate and reasonable. So I'm going with that. To love God is to thank God as the source of all truth. Well, back to that place God has provided for me to love our neighbors, for which I am eternally grateful. My work involves providing spiritual care for hospice patients who are facing their end of life, as well as their families and for the hospice team members. And although I am a seminary-educated, ordained Christian minister, my work is not necessarily religious. I've come to understand human spirituality as being larger than any one organized religion. More specifically, I'm convinced that decisions we make through our life that provide meaning and purpose come from a spiritual place within us. This is not to say that our faith traditions don't play a crucial role in providing this purpose, but it is to suggest a formal religious worldview is not necessarily needed to lead a meaningful life. This might sound shocking and feel heretical. I hope not. I'll admit, I've had pastors look at me in a way that suggests they question my love for God and my commitment to Christ. But our hospice promise to each and every neighbor is to provide comfort and treat them with dignity. This means managing their pain and meeting them spiritually where they are. It means honoring and valuing and respecting them as created human beings worthy of my non-judgmental love. Their end-of-life journey is theirs to make. And we consider it a deep and profound privilege to be invited into their sacred space and time. Again, I use this word sacred in a way that's not necessarily religious. I understand it to refer to what's been described as a thin place through which we can catch a glimpse of the eternal and what is ultimately real, God in His truth, using our Christian language. I'm convinced I've been led to a unique place that God has allowed me to love my neighbor, precisely where and with specific gifts He has provided. To sit with those who are facing their death with clear eyes and full understanding, helping them explore the meaning of their lives and their angers and their fears and their regrets is an honor I cannot describe. I have found my vocation. Now, this is not to say there isn't a cost. As we recognized and acknowledged earlier, love always pays a price. Love is expensive. The benefits of this neighbor love accrue to their account. Love cost Jesus His life. And our hospice neighbor love comes within an emotional investment in a painful price when they die. But we will know, and we do know, rich rewards as well. There's no deeper satisfaction than making a difference in the lives of other people. Loving our neighbor where God has placed us and with the unique gifts he has blessed us with provides the deepest meaning we can know. Responding obediently to his love command gives our own lives a full purpose beyond measure. Now, it might be said, I've suggested, that God's love commands and our obedience to them complete a perfect plan. Firstly, our neighbors profit from accruing benefits to their account. Second, we know the reward of living a life rich in meaning and purpose. Thirdly, God is recognized and thanked for being the one true source and enabler of love. It's a win, win, win. God's perfect plan. So, in spite of the cost, love is his plan. And each of us are in a place to make a difference in the lives of our neighbors, triggering that a touch in that special place for them and us. And as we've learned this morning, anyone who sees, witnesses, or even hears about it in a story. All the while thanking God for the privilege. And when it comes time for our own transition from this life to the next, we can look back and smile with confidence, while at the same time look forward to his well done, good and faithful servant. May it be so. Amen.